opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder more or less than running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
We are certainly starting to have fun in the River City now. This is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you for downloading the show and paying attention to what's going on in Louisville, KY, and what I have to say about it. I'm really excited about introducing you to my guest this week. First up, I'm going to have Joey Wagner, who is he's a party planner. I met Joey several years ago. His career has been skyrocketing, and he knows some people. He knows some folks that you would like to know, and I spent most of the interview with him begging him for tickets to some of his parties Derby Week. That's going to be a lot of fun, and you'll be very interested to hear about Joey and what he's got going on. And in the second part of the show, I've got Jenny Reese, the former Courier Journal turf rider. And I say former, this is her first Derby that she's not been working for the Courier as a turf rider, and she is very, very busy. I tell you, I recommend to my friends, people that had jobs and had jobs for a long time, it seems like when you leave those jobs, good things tend to happen. They certainly have for me since I left my last full-time job back in September. I got a lot of great things coming up. One thing that I can't tell you about quite yet, but it is a very exciting project around the food and dining space. Can't wait to get started on that and talking with you, and hoping that you will follow me some of the stuff I'm doing there. But the first thing I want to do, if you remember last week, Bill Doolittle was on this show, and he is the writer of the Kentucky Derby book. It's a brand new book. It's got this great Digimarc technology, and I would encourage you to take a look at the thing. It's on sale at kyderbybook.com, and this Friday, in fact, at the Reader's Corner bookstore on Frankfort Avenue, there is a book signing. Bill will be there, and this book published by Shercliffe Publishing. I had a meeting with Kathy Shercliffe of that company today on Wednesday, and there's just a lot of interesting stuff going on in terms of that book and some things going on in town. Bill, I saw while I was over there talking to Jenny at the track, and we talked some Derby handicapping and what this field is starting to look like, starting to shape up. A lot of the Derby horses, I hear, are here at Churchill Downs earlier than usual. I remember many years that it seems like the Derby horses ship in during the week of the Derby, but not the case this year. Most of the Derby horses are already here. Mo Heyman, which is lining up to be one of the favorites, was working while I was there today on Wednesday morning, and did a great bullet work. And you know, this is a horse that's going to be a challenge for handicappers. They had one bad race, the Florida Derby, but otherwise has been spectacular, and he looked great on the Churchill Downs track today. So it's time to start paying attention to the horses and getting to know the names and picking your favorites and all that. So stick with me on the show. I may talk about that each of the weeks leading up to the Derby as we get ready for it. All right, so one other event I want to tell you about first off is something that I just got planned together. I hope you'll go to my Facebook page or the Ballatin Whiskey Facebook page and check out this party that we're going to have out in Jeffersontown. It's going to be at the Third Turn Brewery, which is a fantastic new venue out there. It's in an old church, and And Greg Hayden is going to be on this show probably next week. He is one of the proprietors out there, and it's just a fantastic location. We're going to have our second ever Cocktails with Champions event there at the Third Turn Brewery on May the 18th. I'll be talking about this a little bit more, but we're trying to come up with some things that we can serve with Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey out there, and I think there's going to be slushies. That's all I need to say. Slushies are going to be on the menu at the bar at the Third Turn Brewery on May 18th, and that will be a taste treat. I think so. There's a lot of other things associated with that event coming up in the near future, and thanks to our friends at Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey. Now, let's get on with the show. I want to introduce you, first of all, to Joey Wagner. He works for a company called Boxcar PR. They're out in the East Point. And I went out there and talked to Joey about some things. We reminisced about a story I wrote about him maybe 6-7 years ago. And that's when Joey's business was just starting to develop. But he's always been great at holding parties and getting celebrities to come. He does a lot of favors for them, and they do a lot of favors for him. And it's all works. And he raises a lot of money for charities and puts on one heck of a party. So you're going to hear about what those are coming up in this interview. And here it is, my interview with Joey Wagner.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Today I'm out in the East End with Boxcar with Joey Wagner. And Joey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I know this is kind of a busy time of year for you.
Yeah, it's getting pretty
crazy. But it's a fun time.
Yeah, it's a great time. You know, it's Derby time in Louisville. So with me being on the board of the Kentucky Derby Festival, and obviously the Kentucky Derby time being a pretty big part of my business, basically between February and May, it's pretty chaos.
Okay. So you've made your claim to fame or your reputation on knowing how to party, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, we've kind of transformed into, the event planning world and really learned to put together really good events for the city of Louisville. It's been 17 years of being able to plan different events, from celebrity events to charity events to corporate events to special events. And, you know, I think that what we've done really well in Louisville is just trying to be outside the box. And, you know, I've always had the philosophy that when we do an event, that when you walk into one of my events, you have kind of the wow factor. And then when you walk out of our events, you can't wait to come back to the next one. And I think we've done a really, really good job with that. And, you know, leading up to Derby, I mean, we'll probably end up doing close to 12 to 15 events in about 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
Then not including, you know, me being on the board of the Derby Festival, there's so many events. I mean, we have 85 plus over the Derby Festival. So I try to get it to as many of those. And then I'm on the committee for the fashion show. I just was the chair of the Kentucky Derby Basketball Classic, which just happened this past weekend.
Okay.
I'm on the balloon committee. So it's pretty busy.
Well, what's the coolest party that, like, somebody like me wants? I want to go to a party and see some celebrities.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's kind of like twofold for me at Derby. You know, I think the coolest event, the best event we do of the week is our Jocktails event, and that's on the Wednesday of Derby. That's our basically celebrity charity bartending event that we have all the Kentucky Derby jockeys bartending for charity, and we raise money for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. That's on Wednesday at Derby, 7 to 10 at the Ice House. It's invite only, so if you want to come, I'll take care of you. But it's kind of a...
There are perks to this job.
That's right. Okay. It's a hard ticket to get, and that's where I think this event is kind of grown to turn into one of the best events at the Derby, is that you just can't pay to get in. You kind of got to have to get invited or know somebody through us and a sponsor. And as far as the biggest celebrity event, I would probably say our Friday night event with Grey Goose, which is basically Grey Goose, the official vodka of the Kentucky Derby. And then the Oaks Lily, which are the Kentucky Oaks. So we'll be doing the Kentucky Oaks after party on Friday night, which Friday night's always been the biggest night that the celebs go out. So we'll be doing a late night event with Grey Goose from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. on Friday of Derby.
Wow. Okay. And so what do you got to do to get into that one?
It's invite only. So I got you taken care of if you want to come check that one out.
Twist this guy's arm to get my Derby schedule going. But it's really fascinating me, because I think when I first heard of you, it was almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was just little, what I thought and what you probably think now, back then were just little get-togethers where you were able to pull off a way to publicize these things to make people interested.
Yeah, I mean, when we first met, 10 years ago to now, it's really, transformed, obviously, with the social media. The social media component for me has been massive, and I can't imagine, when I first started 17 years ago, if I would have had social media. I mean, it was me literally hitting the streets 7 nights a week, putting flyers on cars and, calling people. There was no text messaging and no email. And, I mean, people didn't live on their phones like they did now, So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely involved. I think the social media, component for us is so big. I mean, our main goals of promoting is obviously social media and text messaging systems and email databases, because people are on their phones 24/7. So we want that direct piece of marketing to be able to go to them instead of, advertising in big publications or spending a lot of money in marketing. I like that direct marketing piece that goes right to their phone.
There you go. There you go. Now, when we were getting ready to start the interview, I want to see if you can do this again. We were talking about how Boxcar has grown, and you're a part of this public relations firm, Boxcar, and you reeled off a couple of companies I hadn't heard of, but some that I did know. Give me that quick list of your clients out here.
Yeah, I've been at Boxcar for 3 years now, and the partnership that I formed with Boxcar and Bob Gunnell has been pretty amazing, because, I really wasn't, a public relations guy. I've learned a lot about it the past 3 years, but I've kind of brought an event marketing social media arm to the agency, and I think that it's been a great relationship for the both of us. But, yeah, I mean, we represent some of the biggest brands in the city. Obviously, the biggest icon in the world, Muhammad Ali, is one of our clients, which is a fun account to work with. University of Louisville Athletics, Marriott Downtown, John Kenyon Eye Center, VisionWorks, and working with Dr. Lin has been awesome. So we've got, kind of some of the biggest clients in Louisville. And the cool thing about me, how the relationships have really evolved, with U of L Athletics being one of our clients, I got to be really cool with Coach Petrino. And now, I'm on the board of Coach Petrino's Family Foundation, and my company helps with all of the events for the Petrino Family Foundation. And then Boxcar helps out with coaches' endorsements and the PR. So it's kind of been a whole good full circle a relationship. And and the good thing about Boxcar is that we're all over the place. I mean, we do PR and marketing and social media, but we also do a ton of crisis communications. We do a lot of graphic design, web design, a lot of content creating, basically creating brands from A to Z, from the graphic design to how they should market to the type of different events they can do, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we've got an amazing staff here, and I think that the good thing about this staff and this firm is it's just an outside-the-box firm, and that's the way I am, so it's been a good relationship.
Yeah, you got that little gig at the basketball games too. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, growing up, I was a communications major, and ever since I was 13, really younger than that, I was, always wanted to be on a microphone, from announcing games at the Little League baseball park to, growing up doing the high school radio station to going to college.
You did that because you couldn't play, right?
Well, I played too, but, but just doing it on my spare time, I loved it. And then when I went to college, I majored in communications and loved the whole television and radio and stuff like that. And when I came back to Louisville from college, I didn't really get into it, but then I missed it. So then we started, worked with the radio stuff and, through Clear Channel and different things. And then the U of L relationship just formed, and I just completed my 5th year of the official game day MC. And it's an awesome gig, to be a part of that team when we won the national championship in 2013 was pretty cool. And, it's just a fun gig because I have the best seat in the house. I'm on the floor every game, and being able to see some of the Hall of Fame coaches that come in our arena, like, Krzyzewski and, the Carolinas and all those different teams being in the ACC has been pretty an awesome experience. And it's just good for my brand, I mean, me personally, my face and my voice is heard in an arena that has 23,000 fans every single home game. So it's been good for me, a good thing. I love it a lot. I love that game.
Well, it's interesting at that thing, the games I've been to, and I might be wrong, it's like they don't even say who your name is. So it's just – it's just you asking random fans questions or whatever it is that's going on. So, well, that's cool. Well, before we run out of time, because you got so much going on, I don't want to forget to talk about your newest project.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited. Very exciting getting in the restaurant business.
Yeah, with me, people ask me all the time, how do I do so many things? And it's just – I'm the guy that if you work hard, you're going to reap the benefits and stay humble and work really hard. And you know, after we sold our lounge downtown about 2.5 years ago, it's been great because I've gotten to spend more time with my kids and mm-hmm. Coaching baseball and my daughter's cheerleading and doing stuff like that. But, you know, it was just time for me to get back in the business. So after the Derby, closer to the end of May, early June, we're going to be opening up our restaurant downtown. It's going to be called Set at Theater Square. We're really excited because we got the old Cunningham's location, which was one of the prime real estate locations in the city of Louisville. It's across the street from the Palace Theater. It's across the street from the Mercury Ballroom, and it's in the theater district. So we came up with the name Set, obviously, because a set is a theater term. It's a live music term, set of a band, set of a DJ, set of a play. So we're excited. I mean, we've done it the right way. You know, my partner is Kirk Stallings. We've hired Bittner's to do all of our decor, which they're the best of the best. We gutted the entire building. But I think the concept that we're inserting in there is something that I wanted to do is kind of take everything that I like at a lot of different restaurants here locally, but also all over the country, and kind of insert that all into one, from the type of food we serve, the type of staff we, you know, we train and we hire, to the artwork inside the venue, to insert a DJ booth in there, to where, you know, we turn the lights down at night and you have a music playing while you're eating dinner. And we've hired an amazing chef. We have Jeffrey Heidi as our chef, which we're really, really excited about. He was the original chef at Village Anchor. And I mean, I think he's a top five chef in Louisville. So the buzz is definitely out. We just announced it last week, and people are really, really excited.
So is it going to be kind of an upscale? What kind of a place?
You know, I don't. It's, you know, I'm not trying to go for that white tablecloth upscale. You know, I think it's going to be a really, really nice place for people to come down throughout the week. It's definitely going to be the hot spot before and after concerts there at the Palace and Mercury Ballroom. You know, we're not going to be, you know, a crazy expensive restaurant. You know, I would say American style cuisine, but I wouldn't really call us super fine dining. I mean, it's going to be nicer than most restaurants, but not as nice as you know, some of the other fine dining restaurants downtown. But I think a lot of people are going to be excited about it, just because the concept is so different compared to what other restaurants are here in Louisville.
Sure, I would think that the folks at the Palace are glad to see something good coming in across.
Yeah, and that was one of the main reasons that I got involved in the project, is because of the location. Obviously, my good friend Amy Lewis is the general manager of the Palace and Mercury Ballroom, so that was a positive for me to get involved. And we're already working together on a ton of different synergies, because with us being next door neighbors, we want to form a great relationship to where, you know, all the artists that come through the Palace, hopefully they would stop in and eat dinner at our restaurant. Or whether us, you know, we have two private rooms at Set, so we'll be able to bring those artists in through the front door where no one would even ever to know they were in there, which is going to be a positive to work with them. And then obviously us helping out with their green rooms and food for the different artists, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it's going to be a good, great relationship.
I think I need to get on your list for tickets there too.
I got
so,
you.
You know, that'll work. All right, we got to wrap it up. I want to ask you a sort of off the board question. Mm-hmm. You see, celebrities are the name of the game at Derby time, and you've met and hung out with all the greatest ones. Tell me one or a couple that were a big thrill for you to meet.
I would probably say the biggest, you know, with me being such a big sports fan, was Michael Jordan. That was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. He came to one of my events at Derby and was super nice, super humble, you know, gave me the respect. I took care of him, gave him a table and comped all his stuff, and he remembered that. And I saw him at the track the next day, he remembered my name. So I thought that was pretty cool. So Muhammad Ali, I mean, Michael Jordan was definitely one of the biggest that I loved. Last year, Shaq came to some of my Derby parties. That was pretty cool. He's a massive human being, probably the biggest person I've ever seen in my lifetime and up close. I don't know. We've had so many over the years. Luke Bryan was another one that was so nice a couple years ago. He came to our Thursday night Derby event with Grey Goose, took care of him, gave him a table. You know, I didn't even see him again till Saturday, but he remembered me as well and remembered my name. So that's the biggest thing for me, man, is that I've built my business on just making sure I take care of the right people. And kind of like I call myself a concierge, and to kind of go that extra mile to make sure the client, the celebrity, the customer is taken care of. And, you know, and I think that me being able to treat a customer as good as I would treat a celebrity, I think that's what has really helped us in our business at the Derby grow. Because, you know, even if you're not a celebrity, you know, me just to give them the utmost respect and the top-notch service, because I'm a customer service guru, man. That's my thing. Like, if we don't have good customer service, we're not doing our job. So, overall, yeah, the Derby's been great and we've met a lot of great celebrities, and it's been fun. And, you know, I've really built my business on investing in stuff that's never going to go away, and the Kentucky Derby is definitely never going to go away. We'll be right back.
right, and welcome back, and thank you to Joey Wagner for having me out to his fine offices out there in the East End. And, you know, I wasn't kidding, Joey. I really do want some tickets to your Jocktails event Derby Week. That'd be great. It'd be nice to just hang around with Joey and see all the interesting people he knows during the next few weeks. So anyway, before we get on to the rest of the show, I want to tell you about my friends at Eye Care Institute, where I am trying to figure out a time to schedule my LASIK procedure. I'm very fortunate. I went through all the procedures over there, the testing at the Eye Care Institute down there on Story Avenue, and they told me I'm a great candidate, that I would be able to ditch the contacts that I wear all the time and be able to see clearly at distance. I might still need readers for close-up, but what a great change in my life that would be. And I'm just working on getting that scheduled. The Eye Care Institute at 502-589-1500. No matter what your issue is with your vision and with your eyes, they're a very professional place to go get checked up on. So encourage you to go down there. Eye Care Institute, 589-1500. All right. Now, in this part of the show, I usually talk about some of the things that are coming across my wavelength. I still try to pay attention to the news and what's going on in the world. And, of course, this time with the spring, the news picks up, too. There's a lot of stuff going on. I would like to mention last week I wrote a piece in my weekly piece on LouisvilleKY.com about the changes at WHAS-TV, and it was interesting the way the media treated this story. I found that basically I learned through a tip that WHAS-TV had offered buyouts to up to, everybody's a little vague on the number, but up to 13 people over there, people with long tenures, people with decades of experience in the industry. I know one of them was Dan Chesser, a photographer that I know, and several other people that I've come across through the years working in the media. And it turns out that at least 10 people took these buyouts, but the main one, the only on-air person, was Melissa Swan, the anchor. And Melissa's great at her job, and you know she's going to be missed. And this wonderful person, and a couple of the media operations around town just wrote a story about Melissa Swan's retirement as if that was all there was to it. And in truth, there were more than 10 people getting buyouts from WHAS-TV. I can't not think that that's going to affect the quality of their on-air product. And certainly, it's a bigger news story, I guess. You know, ever since I've been doing this kind of work, since like 2006, there have been stories about mainstream media outlets cutting back. And I would alert you to a story that that Terry Miners wrote. Terry Miners, the DJ who's been on this show at WHS, wrote a long story about how great his career in media has been, and it has been. But I tell you, if Terry Miners was coming up now, he would have a tough time getting jobs and staying employed in this business. The media business, the mainstream media business, is tough. It's tough to get and maintain and keep a job. The job is harder, and there are fewer of them. Terry's piece also mentioned a number of people over there at the former Clear Channel, now called iHeart, that were losing their jobs. I saw on Facebook one of those was a longtime DJ around here, Chris Randolph, I believe. And, you know, that seems to be the way of the world. You never see stories about media companies hiring people. It's always that it always seems to be that they're cutting back, they're letting go their corporate parent, Tegna, in the case of WHAS-TV, which is, there's a connection to Gannett and the Courier-Journal. They're all cutting back for their shareholders, and that's an old story. We've talked about it a lot, and that's just the way it is. So as we're moving on, segue into a story that came up just this week about Terry Miners had Attorney General Andy Beshear on his show yesterday to defend himself, because there's this big feud going on, and I don't know why it's going on, but between the current governor, Matt Bevin, and his predecessor, Steve Beshear, and they are they don't seem to like each other. I guess I would say that, you know, and it's interesting, you know, Tim Longmire is a name you should know. He is the former, he worked in Bashir's cabinet, and he was former head of the Democratic Party. And apparently he was pretty corrupt. He pled guilty this week to bribery, bribery charges, federal bribery charges. He could get up to 10 years in prison. And he was one of Bashir's buddies. You can't, you know, Steve Bashir is not going to be able to distance himself from the Tim Longmire mess. And so the governor, and Kentucky's governor, Matt Bevin, now this is a big deal. It's in the New York Times. I'm reading from New York Times story right now. And it says Kentucky's Republican governor ordered an investigation into what he described as wrongdoing under his Democratic predecessor, charging that state employees were coerced into contributing to political campaigns and that a contract was improperly steered to a politically connected company. Hefty charges. Bashir came back with a statement later that day that called that Bevin's charges pathetic. And, you know, they're into name-calling thing, but it's a very serious, and, you know, these are the kind of things that give government a bad name, that make people like you maybe not want to pay attention to what's going on in politics. I don't know. But anyway, it's a little bit of a mess that we have. And you know, and having the son of the former governor as the current attorney general, you know you're not going to get a real a real investigation into what the previous administration did. But it's a complicated story. There's other people investigating. We're probably going to find out more. And I'm very interested to hear what all Longmire's charges involve. He pled out, so we may not hear everything, but we're going to hear a lot. And there was a lot of money that changed hands in an illegal way. So anyway, enough about that. There's some other stories in the news involving a former Rusty Satellite Show guest. I do want to mention that my good friend Chris Thieneman has finally, if you followed LouisvilleKY.com, you know I've written stories about Chris's issues being charged with, I think the charge is abuse by a former girlfriend, and Chris has maintained all along his innocence. It was a weird story because his ex-girlfriend basically got out of a car at an intersection and then claimed to the police that Chris had been hurting her, and it was very complicated. It took a long, long time to get to trial, and the trial is wrapping up as we speak. By the time you hear this, I'm sure a decision will be made about Chris's innocence or guilt. He was very anxious to get to this trial, spent a lot of money defending himself, and I think Chris is in the right here. I hope that the jury rules in his favor. But that should happen. This is Wednesday afternoon. The trial has concluded. It's in the hands of the jury, and he will, I hope, be exonerated by the jury by the time you hear this. But you never know. You never know what juries are going to do. The other big news from a former Rusty Satellite guest, if you remember Will Russell and Funtown Mountain. Funtown Mountain's been in the news the last few days because it was sold after Will, you know, Will is getting treatment for his problems. And the property that he bought and opened down in South Central Kentucky, Funtown Mountain, was sold to a guy that owns a few radio stations down there for $295,000. Says he's going to make it into some sort of a park or resort. And that may be the last we hear about Funtown Mountain for some time. I think that's about the end of that story. So anyway, those are some of the big stories in the news. Now, you know, this weekend, it's Thunder weekend. I hope you have plans. I have done Thunder in so many different ways. I still haven't decided what I'm going to do this time. You still have time to invite me to your party. I might show up. I don't know, but I've been with all the people down on the ground and all that. I'm surely not going to do that. I've been in some of the skyscrapers. I've been in the Galt House. I've watched it from several different vantage points, even from Indiana. It is a spectacular thing to see, and I hope you, if you haven't, you should experience Thunder in your own way this weekend. It's a big deal. Justin Bieber's in town, believe it or not, tonight. Time you hear this, that show will have come and gone, but that's a big deal. So there is a lot going on in the city. I have another event coming up that I do want to tell you about real quickly, and because I'm very excited. We just selected the speaker for the Breakfast of Champions, and that and the speaker is Harry Pickens, the famous musician. Very anxious to hear what he has to say over at U of L. That's the date on that is May 10th, and there is a Facebook page. I'll be inviting many of you through Facebook to that event. Every other month, we have a Breakfast of Champions event. And it is at the University Club, and it's a lot of fun. Very educational, meet a lot of cool people there. That will be a week before the Cocktails with Champions event out at Third Term Brewery that I spoke about a little bit earlier. So anyway, that's a little bit about what's going on. I'm going to wrap it up here and get on to my interview with Jenny Rees, who I tracked down over at the backside of Churchill Downs. We had sort of an adventure with Bill Breimer, my photographer. We ran around with Jenny chasing. There was a Derby winner, not a Derby winner, but a Derby horse. Mo Heyman was on the track while we were there. And I sat in on an interview with the Japanese trainer of a Derby horse. And as you'll hear in this interview, we got cut short a little bit because some sort of important thing that Jenny had to go cover came up while we were standing there on the backside. So a very interesting person, very interesting interview, I think, with Jenny Rees, and it's coming up next on the Rusty Satellite Show.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And what a great spot. I'm on the backside of Churchill Downs, 2.5 weeks before the Derby with Jenny Rees. Jenny, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. I mean, but how awesome. A beautiful morning.
I'm telling you, this makes you want to...
Be a racing writer?
Be a racing writer.
Without having to write?
Now, a lot of people are familiar with you, years and years with the Courier-Journal, and mm-hmm. And that all changed last year. Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was at the Courier 34 years, 32 of them covering horse racing, and I was already thinking that I was sort of at the point, my husband does train, I spend a lot of time at the barn, you know, a lot of times I'm helping him out. And I just decided the way things were evolving that I would rather be part of the racing world than the newsroom world. And but, you know, I had a great job. But then this buyout offer came in August. We had 45 days to decide. It was the first time I was eligible for what they refer to as retirement or early retirement. What I refer to as reinventing myself. And I decided I have a year to...
Rewirement is what Barbara Sexton Smith told me last week.
So I like that. I like that, rewirement. I'll have to remember that. But so this way, I've got the... Well, now it's like about 6.5 months left. But some play to do some different opportunities, to pursue some different things. I really wanted to, you know, get involved in communications, but really also advocacy for horsemen. Mm-hmm. I think long range, that's what I really want to do, is work for the Kentucky Horsemen, but also fan education, and maybe, you know, right now I'm still doing some journalism. I'm, you know, okay. Going to be working for Wave to be Derby Week. I'm very excited about that. In this next couple of weeks, like what we're doing now, what I'm doing this morning is I'm working for the Blood Horse, writing up these workouts. And but there's probably like 10 different entities that I've worked for I took the buyout.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. You find out what opportunities are out there that maybe you didn't know about in the other place. But let me ask you about the other part of the Derby. You're going to be a participant in a big part of Derby Day.
I'm going to be in the Oaks Day Breast Cancer Survivors Parade, and it's been a real whirlwind. It seems kind of funny thinking of myself as a survivor because it hasn't been that long, but as a great friend of mine who's also a cancer survivor said, you're a survivor until you're not. And so as part of the 45 days of doing the due diligence to decide if I should take the buyout, I did have an overdue mammogram. I was like 10 months overdue, which was very stupid because my mother did have breast cancer. And I had to go back for more images, and I wasn't worried about that because that's happened before, it's nothing. And then they said, oh, we need a biopsy. And then I started getting worried because I didn't want anything that was going to complicate the decision. Mm-hmm. I had a great job with the Courier Journal. I knew I could stay there. But I also was mentally thinking it was time for me to move on to something else. And I didn't need any outside distraction. But they told me with the biopsy, they said, look, 80-90% of the time it's nothing. Of course, I'm the 10-20%. So I was pretty upset at first, but they said, look, this does not need to be something that interferes with it. If you really want to do something, look, you're going to have a lumpectomy, you're going to have radiation, this could be out of your life in 4 months. Well, okay. Long story short, I had two lumpectomies, and they still didn't have a clear margin. So I said, look, I do not want to worry about this, and I just assume not have radiation. So I made the decision to have, even though I had stage zero breast cancer, it's called DCIS, to have a bilateral mastectomy so I didn't have to worry about it anymore.
Well, there you go. And now you seem very, very healthy and happy. And
yeah, I am very healthy and I am very happy. Okay. Now, I got to tell you, these tissue extenders that you have in yourself for like your chest for 4 months, while it's part of the reconstruction, isn't fun. But believe me, what I've been through is nothing compared to what so many thousands of women are doing. And the message I want is that early detection and get those mammograms.
Okay.
Sorry, Carol. Okay.
I'm rolling again. Okay, we're rolling again. We had a little interruption there because the Derby horses came on the
track.
Right. Who are we looking
and
at here?
Well, Mohamed, who was the Derby favorite until he got beat for the first time in his career by unbeaten 2-year-old champion Nyquist, he's going to have his first work at Churchill Downs, and he's backing up right now. It'll be interesting to see. It's rare you see a horse who is so overwhelmingly like a favorite and then drops off the face of the earth.
Not.
Like, just you hear no buzz at all. It's
okay, well, Bill Doolittle, who was on our show last week, walked up here, and he predicts the Derby champion every year. How's your track record?
Well, you know, they used to have me on public radio on It's Only a Game, and they would always joke that I picked it every year. And then they started having these podcasts where people could go back and listen. And so I got outed. let's see, the most inspired pick I had that was correct was Lily T, and that was in 92. I did have Street Sense.
I did have
Orb. But it's tough, and sometimes it's because I set myself on a horse and I try to make the circumstances fit that pick rather than, like last year, for instance, just looking at what's in front of your eyeballs in American Pharoah.
Okay. And that was a special horse. Tell me, how many of these have you done? How long have you been out here? What's your first Derby memory?
Well, Swale was the first Derby I covered in 1984 for the Courier Journal. You know, I covered 11 unsuccessful Triple Crown bids before I finally covered, American Pharoah. And that was another thing that made it seem time.
Nobody
what better way to
you.
Go out? What way to go out? You know, and I made a point to say unsuccessful because I wrote one time after, I think, Real Quiet. And I talked about a failed Triple Crown. And Bob Baffert pulled me aside and said, you know what? He didn't fail. He just didn't win. I said, you know what? You're right. He didn't fail. Silver Charm didn't fail. Smarty Jones didn't fail. Now, Big Brown and War Emblem, they failed. When you're eased in the Belmont, you failed.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about what the next 2 weeks or so is like for you.
I'm curious to see what it's going to be like because it's going to be a lot different for me. I'm going to be, like, working for the Blood Horse some up until, Derby week. Then I'm just going to pretty much work for Wave. I'm also doing stuff for Horse Racing Radio Network, recording some of these interviews, which then I upload or download, whatever you call it, and I just email it to them, and then I'm through. It is so awesome. You don't have to sit down there and write. And Bill could tell you that's the toughest part. Talking to the people's the easy part.
Well, that is the fun. It's doing interviews just like this show. It's fun to do the interviews. And who are some of the most the personalities that you remember that the conversations linger, I guess, in your mind?
From over the years with the Derby? Boy, hard. I guess it's almost like an announcer. You kind of just clean slate and go to the next one. But I'm here. If I sound distracted, it's because I'm looking to see what, you know, Mo Heyman. I haven't seen that Derby saddle towel. What a great invention that was.
Tell me when it comes by.
Yeah. Anyways, one of the most interesting interviews, but this was in France, that I ever did, was with François Boutin, the trainer of Arazi, who in 1992 was the big favorite for the Kentucky Derby. He was the French horse who had come over. There he is on the turn, Mo Heyman.
But you and I both knew Lily T was going to win in 92.
That's right. That's right. And unfortunately, it wasn't commingled. He paid $100 in New York and California. It was a separate pool here, and he only paid, you know, $30-something dollars. But here, I'm going to get a little bit of iPhone video of Mo Heyman here when he's coming by us. He's going to be getting ready to break into the work. But anyways, this whole interview, I didn't really know French. I had a translator. And I didn't realize that François Boutin had given us his life story until we got back to France Natasha the translator translated for me. So here comes Mo Heyman.
All right.
See, this is something that they didn't teach us in J school. It's like all this stuff about social media to tweet out things.
Yeah. Good looking horse.
Yeah. There's a lot of tappets in this field. And the gray horses and the people that like the bet grays are gonna have some handicapping decisions.
Oh, well,
make.
I'm one of those people. So
you had Creator that won the Arkansas Derby?
Now, Bill told me Exaggerator was the horse. What do you think of that?
I like Exaggerator a lot. He's somebody that fell out of favor and fell back into favor real quick. And you know why he fell out of favor? Because the trainer, you don't usually hear trainers talk this way, especially with one Derby prep to go, saying, well, maybe he's more of a miler. They never say that. They never say that till after the Preakness.
Yeah, they all the trainers, they're like fight guys sometimes, aren't they? They all think they're going to win, don't they?
Well, if you don't think you're going to win, you really don't, or have a chance to win, you really don't need to be in the Derby. But it's the hardest race in the world to say no to. And a lot of owners, if they can just get the chance, let's see. So he's somewhere in between. You lose the horse's working, of course.
I'm distracting you. I know that.
Yeah, but we got Bill helpfully pointing him out to which crack between
right
temporary.
Down.
Yeah.
Wasn't it better when the Downs didn't have all these buildings out in the middle of the track?
Yeah, and it was better when we had a press box that we could see racing live, too.
Yeah, I remember that as well. So where do you watch the Derby these days?
So here he's popped out the other side. He's galloping out. Yeah.
Come back by here.
He's coming.
Well, I don't know where I watch the Derby this year. Maybe from the backside, because I'm working Derby morning. And I'm taking the Derby off for the first time as an adult, so I can just enjoy all the parties on the backside.
Wow.
Yeah, you're going to be able to hear him right here when he comes by.
Yeah.
You'll hear what he sounds like.
All right.
Yeah, so
keep going.
Look, Rick, we're going to give you some nice, you can.
Yeah, same.
Here comes Mo Heyman. There he goes.
What did you get, Bill? What do you think?
Very quiet. He looked great. It's so hard to take a horse off of a bad race.
Yeah, I know. For the Derby, if they don't.
It's never happens.
They never. Way. They might finish fourth, but it's not a bad fourth. Okay, Rick, I gotta go get fractions.
Okay, all right, Jenny, thanks for being on the show.
Sure.
Jenny,
I mean, if
one quick photo of you.
Wait, let me do this and
then. Oh, yeah.
What a great story from Jenny Reeves. I tell you, that was hectic out there at Churchill Downs. There is no better, I guess I would say, the morning may be the best time to be out at Churchill Downs over there on the backside. A lot of people over there, and the media is already gathering. It's several weeks before the Derby, and it's already happening. As you could tell in the interview, Jenny was busy chasing stories. She's doing a lot of work over there, probably more than she did as a turf rider for the Courier. But she's very happy, and I'm very happy, too. I think everybody it all worked out for the better for all of us there. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, number 146 in a row of bringing you the most interesting people in the Ville. This show would not be possible without my sponsors. I want to mention them: Passport Health Plan, the Eye Care Institute, and Ballantine Chocolate Whiskey. And a special welcome to the folks at Shercliffe Publishing, who published the Kentucky Derby book. Encourage you to pick one of those up at your next opportunity. And stay tuned to the Rusty Satellite Show. I tell you, there's a lot of exciting things going on. You might learn something if you keep downloading and listening to the show. And we will return with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week, right here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.